May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You might know that Pastor John Brock and I have what some might consider an unusually strong affinity for Walt Disney, the man, and Walt Disney World, the resort. So I have to tell you that when I was sent the theme for today's sermon, Wishing on a Star, I had to blink back the pixie dust from my eyes, and I really felt like my moment had come. I even watched Pinocchio, from which we get that song, When You Wish Upon a Star. It was darker than I remembered. It's full of a lot of drinking and smoking and liberal use of the word stupid, and I'm not sure it's entirely appropriate for today's young children, and it was not at all helpful in my sermon preparation. Fortunately, on Monday evening at about 6:30, John and I were in our kitchen, and we were preparing our traditional New Year's Day meal. By preparing, I mean we were pouring over the Chinese takeout menu. And our dogs alerted us to something incredibly alarming. There was someone at our front door, and it was probably bad guys. Our dogs are very concerned about bad guys. No one uses our front door, not even us. But sure enough, there was a gentleman standing on our porch, and he was knocking on our door. He didn't really look like a bad guy. So I pulled the dog beds away from the door, and I unlocked it with the ancient skeleton key that came with the door when it was installed 80 years ago. And I stepped out into the windy darkness with John following me and the dogs clamoring to do the same. And I greeted the stranger with a hearty and welcoming, "Hello!" And the man held out his hand and he said, "My name's Lee Brown, and I'm new to the area. I've seen your star, and I've stopped to ask about it." And very quietly in my own head, I thought, oh, how timely. I've been needing a sermon illustration. The star to which he was referring is a large, lighted, multi-point plastic Moravian star. It hangs on our front porch. And it was a gift from John's parents years ago. We've had it nearly as long as we've been married. Lee told us, "I just moved here with my wife from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where there's a large Moravian population. These stars are everywhere, and I thought that perhaps you might be Moravian." Spoiler alert number one, we're not Moravian. However, the star on our porch came from Winston-Salem, because John's father was born there. So we talked about that for a bit. And pretty soon, I had decided that our visitor was definitely, or at least probably, not a bad guy, and I invited Lee to step inside where it wasn't quite so windy and cold. It turns out that Lee was looking for a Moravian congregation. He was looking for his people. He had seen our star, and he read that star as a sign that we might be his people. The fact that he saw the star and acted on it, taking the bold step of knocking on the door of complete strangers on a dark and windy night in hopes of finding his people, made me feel all the more apologetic when I had to admit to him that we are not Moravian. We just like their stars. However, as ELCA Lutherans, we are in full communion with the Moravian Church. And that means that as denominations of Christianity, we agree on more than we disagree, especially on the big ideas, like our understanding of sacraments. And I pointed out to Lee, we have a lot in common. We have a lot of common heritage. In fact, if you visit a German Lutheran cemetery, and then you go visit a Moravian cemetery, which they charmingly call God's Acre, you're going to see a lot of the same names. Because the German Lutherans and the Moravians, we're cousins, you see. So we talked a little longer, and we exchanged business cards, and true to our Lutheran heritage, John and I completely neglected to invite Lee to worship here with us at Trinity. I did, however, true to my Lutheran heritage, give him a fistful of Christmas cookies. And as Lee went out the door, we thanked him for stopping, and he got into his car, and he left. And John and I went back to pondering, you know, those deep spiritual thoughts, like, do you want to get egg rolls or dumplings? And it wasn't until much later that evening that it occurred to me that this visit from a stranger might have had a deeper meaning, and we might have missed those signs. I have never thought of our meridian star as anything other than a decoration. I mean, I keep it lit throughout Advent and Christmas and Epiphany. It's a sign of hope and the light of Christ, and it's also a really great porch light. But it never occurred to me that someone else would see it and make assumptions about me and my faith life and the faith life of my family. But Lee was looking for signs. He's a stranger in these parts. He's looking for a worshiping community. And he read that porch light as a sign of familiarity, a sign of welcome, a sign of home. And I hope that he found at least a bit of that in our house, even if we didn't remember to invite him to worship. Today we hear the story of the Magi, or as this translation calls them, the wise men. Men of ancient time who were looking for signs. We had a young boy in a former congregation who thought that the pastor called them the mad guys. And a certain wolf who lives at my house has never been able to shake that idea. And you might think of them as the three kings, and you might even know them by name, Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar. They're probably the characters in the Christmas story about whom we've imagined the most detail, but very little of it actually comes from Scripture. Most of what we think we know about the Magi is largely a bunch of stuff from legend and song, and we've internalized it so deeply that we think that the Bible tells us so. But today's gospel is the only place where the Magi are specifically mentioned. And nowhere does Matthew say that there are only three of them. It's okay, you can look it up. Check it out. Nowhere does Matthew say that they are kings. Nowhere does Matthew call them by name. And Matthew doesn't even say that they have a camel. But there is a camel in nearly every nativity scene I've ever seen. And there's a camel on today's bulletin cover, so it must be in the Bible. Spoiler alert number two. There's no camel in today's gospel. So I started to wonder, what do we know about the Magi? Well, we know that they were wise. Matthew's very clear about that. They're scientists even. They were watching the cosmos for signs. We also know that, as one might say, they're not from around here. They were from the east. Not like New Jersey. No, the real east, like where the sun comes from. And we know that they were men of faith because they were seeking the child born king of the Jews, not for their own gain, but for the express purpose of paying him homage. They simply wanted to worship him. We know that they brought fancy, expensive gifts. And you know what they are, so let's just all say it together. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Nice work. You all get a gold star for today. I said gold star. Okay. We know that they were overwhelmed with joy and they bowed down before the Christ child, and we know that they paid attention to their dreams and they took a different route home accordingly. In the larger narrative of God revealing himself in Christ Jesus, the Magi are among the very first witnesses, and they're outsiders who pay attention and follow divine instruction. They're foreigners in the land of Judah, but the Magi serve as the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, who foretells that all nations will bow before the Lord. Not just God's chosen people, but all nations. Salvation is for everyone. You'll notice that Isaiah mentions camels, so maybe that's where the camels and the nativity scene comes from. I don't know, but I'll give them that. And as outsiders, the Magi are unlikely recipients of God's message of hope and redemption. Just like Mary, who's young and poor and female, and like the shepherds who are dirty and stinky and unwelcome in society. They don't belong there. Now, if I were them, I think I would want to share the message with a better class of people. I'd at least want to share the message with people who look like me and people who worship like me, people who are respected and respectable, people who don't smell like sheep. I certainly wouldn't want to share the message with the kind of people who look to the stars for answers and people who trust their dreams over MapQuest. But I'm not God, and we're all thankful for that. God's actions are surprising and audacious in this story, as they are in every other story of God's grace and mercy being revealed and poured out on those that we might feel are undeserving. The poor, the outcast, the blind, the lame, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, thieves, excuse me, those afflicted with demons of all sorts, those who don't confess Christ as their Savior, and those who call God by another name. But God chooses to reveal himself through Jesus first to the outsiders. And it's the outsiders who recognize him, and the outsiders who pay him homage. The outsiders knelt and they worshiped, while the rich and the powerful, like Herod, they were threatened. They rejected Jesus, and they sought to bring him to his death. In a few weeks, we'll get the third spoiler alert. Jesus doesn't stay dead. Today, the story of the Magi reminds us that God is and has always been revealed through Jesus Christ to people outside of polite society and the acceptable religious community, and that when we're unified through Christ, we lose all distinction of insiders and outsiders, of men and women, of tribe and language and race, all those things we use to divide ourselves, just like the prophets foretold. Today's message of the Magi is not the story of starry-eyed plastic nativity figures casting their wishes into the night sky. No, it's the story of God, whose love and grace and mercy reaches to all people and all corners of creation. It's the story of a God who sends messages through prophecy and dreams and wonderful signs, and the unlikely people who are open to seeing and hearing that message. It's the story of light, a star shining brightly in a cold, dark world. And that light is Christ, audaciously and mysteriously breaking into our human lives, bringing hope and salvation to all. We have seen his star and have come to worship him. Amen.